You know, I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. When Adrian contacted me and told me about this opportunity to preach for Mission Sunday, I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. I was really jazzed. And it was only until a couple days ago that I discovered that it was Daylight Savings Sunday. Quickly realized I drew the short stick. Right? We all know that there's going to be some people rushing in here in about 20 minutes, right? Looking around, suddenly surprised. Yeah? Or those of us that are here, there are some probably that this morning, getting the kids ready and getting out of the house and rushing around, it wasn't too exciting, right? We're all kind of a little stressed out. Some people a little grumpy maybe. Everybody's sleep deprived, or deprived, I guess I should say, right? That we, lost that hour of sleep, and so now we come in and everybody's like all sleepy and everything. But, you know, I think for those of us that are chronologically challenged, I think a better thing to do instead of springing forward in the springtime is just to go backward, set our clocks back 23 hours. Okay? Just think about that. Wouldn't that be great? Instead of an extra hour of sleep like you get in the fall when you fall back, you get 23 extra hours. I mean, I don't know if I could sleep for 23 hours, but I'd like to try. Right? You get to have your Saturday again. Think about it. You wouldn't miss the game. You wouldn't miss, flights. You think about all the costs associated with this whole thing of changing the clock, right? It probably costs our nation billions just because we spring forward. Now, that would create a problem, right? Because essentially then, if you go backwards, you get an extra day a year, right, on the calendar. That would be a problem. Well, we could solve that. Just think about it. You know how now, once every 4 years, we add a day to the calendar, right? Leap year. I suggest that once every four years, we just cancel 3 days. I suggest Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Those days seem to stink, okay? And we could do it in some dreary month like February, right? And if we plan it right on the election cycle, that would allow us to miss a whole lot of the, primary season with all the things going on with the elections. Okay, that's enough about that. But I am excited to be here and excited to have the opportunity to share with you from the scriptures about not only missions, when we think of missions in terms of global missions, but also when we think of missions in terms of what God is doing in the world. So this morning, what we're going to talk about is what in the world is God doing? Some of us may have asked that question before, right? When we look at our own lives, when we look at what's going on in the world, we may say, what in the world is God doing? So let's take a look at what we're going to cover this morning. I'm going to give you a little preview here of where we're going. I have an education background, so oftentimes we tell students, we're going to tell you what you're going to tell you, and then we're going to tell you, and then we're going to tell you what we told you, right? So here, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, okay? What we're going to talk about. We're first going to talk about God's strategic plan, looking at God's plan for the world, okay? And we're going to look at the scriptures and look at the whole scriptures to see God's strategic plan. Now, some of you are sitting here going, this guy's really going to preach through the whole scriptures this morning? Yes, I am. Feel free to cancel your lunch appointments now. No, we'll do it in hopefully a quick and painless way. Also, we're going to talk about God's strategic people. Who are the people that implement God's strategic plan? And then finally, we'll talk about God's strategic purpose in our lives. But let's first look at God's strategic plan as it's laid out in the scriptures. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but I like to doodle. Okay, and typically when I'm thinking, and I'm thinking about complex things, sometimes it helps me to process it if I just draw it out in stick figures. Okay, so here's an example of some of my doodling. All right, and feel free, if you doodle, to doodle along. You can put it here on your, the little blank page that's in your bulletin. Feel free to doodle along. If I get boring, you can just keep doing it, and nobody will know that you're not listening to what I'm saying, right? So, but feel free to doodle along with my doodle, okay? What are we doing here? We're talking about, in this picture, the way that we often view the scriptures and what God's doing in the world, right? So when we think about the Bible, we often think about it in terms of covering this wide expanse of time, right? And we know certain pockets or certain pieces of it, but it's a little disjointed. Sometimes we feel like sometimes a Christian life may be just a little disjointed, right? We don't see the big scheme, the big plan, what holds everything together. We just see parcels and pieces. So I put a few up here that you may recognize. So there's creation, right? We know that God created everything sometime a long time ago. And then there's the people of Israel, the Jews, which God kind of identified as his people. And we're familiar with that from the Old Testament. And of course, in the New Testament, we have the coming of Christ, right? Who we just celebrated his coming this morning. So we have the coming of Christ. And then fast forward all the way to now, right? And there's us in the church, the Christians, those who follow Christ. The Bible goes on, though, to talk about the end. Sometime way in the future, the end of time, when God comes and creates a new heaven and a new earth, and those who have been redeemed spend eternity with God in heaven, and those who have denied God and turned away from him spend eternity in hell, separated from him. So this is kind of the way we view the scriptures, right? We have these pieces, but we don't really see exactly how they all fit together. So what I'd like to do this morning is for us to kind of look through the scriptures, take a 30,000-foot view, and see how all of these different things are connected with God's strategy as far as what he's doing in the world. So let's start. We all know about the creation story, right? God created the world, Adam and Eve. So there's the world, there's Adam and Eve. That's supposed to be a theta, right, from which we get, you know, theist, theology, all that to represent God, okay? If you can think of a better way to draw God, then, you know, have at it and show me afterward. But that's the theta to represent God. Okay, so God created the heavens and the earth. And what do we know happened? Man sinned, rebelled against God, and turned away from him. Okay? And then as we go through Genesis, we see how mankind together opposed God. That mankind turned away from the Lord. And then all together, as a community, people turned away from God and turned their hearts away from God. But what's wonderful is at the Garden of Eden, when the first sin was committed, God promised to Eve, right, that there would be a seed that would come from her that would destroy Satan. So we have this promise that God's going to do something amazing, right, that he's going to redeem people back to himself. But we have this situation in Genesis where all of mankind is unified in opposition to God. But what happens is God doesn't allow man to stay together and oppose him. We look in chapter 11 of Genesis and we see what's called the Tower of Babel. Have you guys heard about this before? Have you ever wondered, where do all the different people in the world come from? You know, they have the different languages, different cultures, different skin appearance, everything. They come from right here, Genesis chapter 11. So if your kids ever ask you, where do all these different people come from, all these different nations? Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. What we see here is God goes and looks over mankind and sees how man is united in opposition against God. And in his mercy, he confuses their languages and separates them out throughout the entire earth. So now we have these groups of people. Sometimes you'll read in the scripture referred to as peoples. It's from that word that we get the word ethnic, right? Ethnos, ethnic groups. These are groups of people that have their own language, maybe their own religion, their own culture, right? So in chapter 11, we see that God steps in and separates out mankind into these groups. And you may wonder, why has God done this? And the thing is, what God is doing here is, you've heard the phrase, divide and conquer, right? Here we see God dividing and saving. Okay, we can see God's redeeming work through this. Because this is in Genesis chapter 11, where you've got all these different groups, right? All these different people. You turn the page, okay, and in chapter 12 of Genesis, we see more of God's plan. Okay? So, in chapter 12, we have introduced this person named Abram. God chooses one man, Abram, who will become Abraham, right? And Abraham is chosen by God to be his servant. And it's really interesting because God speaks to Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And he explains to him how he is going to reach all of these different groups of people in his mercy and bring them all back to him. Okay, so here's Genesis chapter 12. I'll read this to you. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. Okay. So what we see here is God's identified this man, Abram, who becomes Abraham, and God gives him a promise. He says, Abram, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless this nation. And I'm going to use that nation to bless all of the other groups of people all around the world. And you hear them referred to as tribes, tongues, nations. All these other nations are going to be blessed through you. So what we see then is you see that Israel was to be blessed by God and then be a blessing to all nations. So that's represented here by Abraham becoming this nation of Israel, the Jews, right? And then God blesses the Jews to be a blessing to all of these nations. Why? To bring them back to God, to bring reconcile these groups back to himself. Okay? So here we see God's plan. Number one, we divide it out to save. Number two, God blesses his chosen people to be a blessing to all the nations. Okay, that's what we see so far here. Now, some of you may be saying, what examples can you think of where the nation of Israel reached out to the nations around it? Or where can we see this plan in action? Where God's moved, he's blessed, and then in turn, it's been a blessing to other groups, other nations. Well, you know, I could go on and on, but let's just think about a few famous stories out of the Old Testament. Okay? And let's look at if we can see this concept of God moving, God blessing, and then in turn, a blessing being given to all the nations. So let's start with a simple one. How about the story of David and Goliath? We all know that, right? We heard that in Sunday school. You know the story, the Philistines were coming against the nation of Israel, and they had this champion named Goliath, this giant, right, who David went and got some stones with a sling, threw it, killed the giant, right? So when we read that story, oftentimes we're thinking of it in terms of, wow, God moved on David's behalf. God blessed David. But what we often miss, you know, we focus on the blessing side, but we often miss the to be a blessing side. Do you know what David said prior to taking the field to fight Goliath? Let's look at this. In 1 Samuel, David says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He's saying this to Goliath. And I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So here we see in this famous story of David and Goliath, God is stepping in on Israel's behalf. He's blessing David, right, to go out and fight Goliath. Why? So that all the nations of the earth will know God and know about God. Okay. So there's the blessing part, and there's to be a blessing, reaching the nations. Okay? So, how about when we think about, you know, in this case, we're looking at David with all the nations. How about another story? You guys remember David's son, Solomon, right? Who is the wisest person in the world. You know, God went to him and said, hey, Solomon, ask me for anything. I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And God said, great. I will bless you with wisdom. And since you didn't ask for riches and power and all that, I'm going to bless you with that too. Okay. But let's see, what does the scripture say about Solomon? In 1 Kings, it says, men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. What do we see here? God's blessing Solomon, Israel, and all the nations of the earth are coming and being blessed by that. Blessing to be a blessing. Okay? So how about another story from the Old Testament? Hopefully you're seeing a pattern here. We all remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You guys remember that one? Where there was an edict that went out and said you had to bow before this idol of Nebuchadnezzar, right? You needed to worship this idol, pray to this idol. And these three guys with the funny names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, no way, we're not going to do it. We only bow to the God of Israel. So we know the story about the fiery furnace, right? So they wouldn't bow down. So the king had them thrown into a fiery furnace. But they didn't die, right? God intervened. God stepped in and blessed them. And when they were brought out of the furnace, do you know what King Nebuchadnezzar said when he saw how God had blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let's look at it. In Daniel 3, therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubble heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Okay? That seems pretty harsh, right? Creeping people from limb to limb and burning down their houses and stuff. But what's being emphasized here is Nebuchadnezzar had sent out a decree to all of these different peoples and groups of people around Israel, telling them, listen, there's something unique about the God of Israel. Right? So here we see God's blessing to these three guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Why? So that the nations would be blessed. See that? Okay. How about another popular story? And I'll wrap up with the stories from the Old Testament. I just want to emphasize to you how prevalent this is through the Old Testament, where God moves on behalf of Israel, and then how that translates into the peoples and the nations learning about the Lord of Israel. So let's look at Daniel. You know the story of Daniel, Daniel in the lion's den? Right? Again, it's a similar situation. There was a decree that said that you could only pray to the emperor at the time, who was Darius, right? And Daniel said, no, I can't pray to anybody. And so the law said, if you don't pray to Darius, you get thrown into the lion's den, right? Where you're thrown in with all these hungry lions and they pretty much eat you. Well, if you know the story, right, God intervened and saved Daniel. He closed the mouths of the lions. So Daniel survived. Right? An amazing blessing. When Daniel was brought out of the lion's den, do you know what King Darius said? Let's look. In Daniel 6, 25 through 27, here's what King Darius said. He said, then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Here we have this king, King Darius, right, who doesn't know anything of God. He's not of the people of God, but he recognizes God's blessing in Daniel's life. And he communicates that to all the peoples. Did you know that at this time, Darius' empire went from India to Ethiopia? It was huge. And so when he says that there is a decree that goes out to these different peoples, nations, and men of every language, that's that entire region, 127 different geographical regions. Right? So the fame of God, the name of God, was spread throughout this whole region. God blessed Daniel, and then in turn, used that to bless the nations. Okay? We could go on and on and on when we talk about in the Old Testament. But I'll finish with one more story that we all know. Esther. How about Esther? We all know the story of Esther, right? How she was chosen by the king to be his wife, how she was an Israeli, she hid that, how there was this bad guy in the kingdom named Haman who was trying to kill all of the Israelites. You guys remember the story? And then Esther goes to the king and, you know, begs on behalf of the Israelites. The king sees what's going on. He steps in, right? Esther's uncle, Mordecai, was the one who figured out some of the schemes and everything. He was lauded for saving the king's life. And in this, we see that when Mordecai was celebrated, an edict went out to the entire nation, right? To the entire province. And in so doing, God protected his people and blessed his people, Israel. But let's take a look at the decree that went out. Okay? Esther 8:17. In each and every province and in each and every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there was a gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. The dread of the Jews, they're like, wow, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, there is something amazing about the God of Israel. So God blessed, stepped in, intervened on Esther's behalf. And then through that, he used that to be a blessing to all of these different nations and peoples around. Okay, so throughout the Old Testament, we see God's plan in action, right? What he promised Abraham, he's done throughout the Old Testament. So we see this where God blesses Israel, and Israel then is a blessing to the nations to bring them back to God, to reconcile them. Okay? So, but here's the thing. Israel did not obey God and bless the nations as they were supposed to. They didn't obey. Why? They were supposed to be this blessing to all of the nations, but why? Well, because of sin, right? Because of them wanting to please themselves and to enjoy the blessing of God without necessarily having to bless the nations. They got off track. They chased after idols, right? You know, most of us in the modern age, we think, idols, those crazy Israelis. What were they thinking, you know, worshiping stone and wood and things made up? What were they thinking worshiping those idols? We would never do that. That's the arrogance of the age. Those people back then were pretty smart. They were pretty wise. It wasn't the wooden idol that they were worshiping. It's the power represented by the idol. Idols that represented wealth and riches, idols that represented pleasure, idols that represented power, right? Now, today, we wouldn't say that we pursue any of those things, right? That we don't have a problem with pleasure, and riches, power, and fame. And somehow those things would deter us or detract us from what God has called us to. But we see that's a problem for Israel. And the thing is, God kept to his original plan. Just as he chose one man in Abraham and made Abraham a great nation, Israel, the nation, was caught in their sin. They could get no freedom from sin. They didn't have the power over sin. They couldn't keep God's commands. So what does God do? God chooses one man out of Israel, Christ. Okay? Christ comes out of Israel. So what we see here is Christ came to give humankind the greatest blessing of all. We just celebrated it, right? Christ came and he took on our badness, that icky sin that we all carry. He took on himself. He paid the punishment for it on the cross. But more than that, he came back. He rose from the dead to give us his rightness so that we can live in communion with God, and we can live according to God's purposes in our life. We have freedom over the power of sin. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us so that we can live for God's purposes. So what we see is, out of Israel, God chose Christ. And when most people think of missions, here's the verse they think of, right? In Matthew 28, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" This was when Christ went and spoke with his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. And does this sound familiar? This is actually a restatement of the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis. If you read this passage and you read the passage in Genesis, you see that God's plan is the same. Here he is. He's saying to his disciples, look, I have given you my commandments. I'm going to be with you always. This huge blessing. Now, go and bless the nations. Okay. And that's where we are now in human history, right? So right now, we are accomplishing, Christians, what Christ said. Go, therefore, and disciple of all nations. So here's where we are in history, right? This is us today. We're the believers. We've been given this ministry to go out and reach all the nations and bring them back together. So when we look at this, just as Israel was called to reach out to these different groups, which required them, right, to step out outside of their group to reach another group. They had to cross a gap, maybe a cultural gap, a religious gap, a language gap. They had to step over a gap. They had to cross a gap to tell people about God and his blessing. In the same way, Christians today, we're called to be willing to cross a gap, to tell people about the good news of Christ. And the thing is, the plan is the same. The promise he made to Abraham, he's now bringing into completion with Christ through his followers. There's actually a verse in Galatians chapter 3. I'll let you read that later, but what I want you to hear is, in that chapter, God's talking about the Old Testament. Paul is talking about the Old Testament and how the law was given, but the law couldn't save people. But Christ had to come, and he had to die on the tree. He was cursed for our sin. But if you look, why was in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles? That is an overt reference to the promise that was given to Abraham that he would be a great nation, Israel. And Israel would represent and bless the nations around them. And then out of that great nation would come one person, Christ. And through Christ, there would be the church, the Christians, who now are given this ministry of reconciliation, that we're to go out to all the peoples, we're to cross the gaps and bring all the people back to Christ. So now Christians reach out to cross the gaps to people all around the world. But see, the scripture doesn't end there. We get to hear the end of the story, right? You flip forward into Revelations, and we get a view of what heaven will be like. So let's look at Revelations chapter 7. John looks, he sees all these people worshiping before the throne, and what does he see? People from every nation, in all tribes, and peoples, and tongues. Think about this. Those of us that are believers, there will be one day where we will be before God's throne, and there will be people there worshiping him with us from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Isn't that amazing? If you think about all the different peoples of the earth, one day we'll be worshiping with them. We see that God sticks to his plan. He said he was going to bring the peoples back to himself, and we look in the future, and he in fact does. Right? So the question becomes, if this is God's strategic plan, right, to use and bless Christians so that we would cross gaps and be blessings to others, the question becomes, who's God's strategic people? And that's what we'll talk about next, briefly. Who are God's strategic people? Well, God's strategic people are people that are Christ's. They've been cleansed. And what do I mean by that? They have exchanged their badness for Christ's rightness. Through faith, through trusting what Jesus did on the cross, they now are free from sin. They've been forgiven. That doesn't mean they won't continue to sin and they won't fall into sin, but the power of sin has been broken and the penalty of sin has been paid and there is freedom. So the people that are a part of God's strategic plan have been cleansed of their sin. What else? They've been blessed. We just talked about this. We just celebrated this, right? If you're a follower of Christ, you've been blessed. You can worship with the communion. that God has, through Christ, saved me. He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. I am no longer going to suffer for the consequences of my sin because of Christ. More than that, he gives us his Holy Spirit that we can live and enjoy a relationship with him. So, people that are part of God's strategic plan are blessed. And then finally, they're sent. God's strategic people have been sent to cross these gaps. Okay, now many of you are sitting here saying, okay, Rod, I get the first part and the second part, right? Yeah, you know, I've been set free from sin because of Christ. I've been cleansed. I've been given new life. I've been blessed with having hope in the world and living a life of blessing as a Christian. But this sent piece, I don't know about that. I don't know that God has sent me to cross gaps for the sake of the gospel. Well, not so fast. Let's take a look at the Great Commission again, just really briefly. If you notice what it says here, Jesus said to the disciples, go therefore to all the nations, right? And what is he telling the nations? Give them the commands that I've given you, right? When Jesus tells them to go, what is that called? That's a command, right? So think about it for a second. If I'm a disciple and I go teach you everything that Christ commanded me to do, it's going to include the command to go. You see that? So think about it for a minute. Throughout all of human history, somebody somewhere crossed a gap with the good news of Christ on your behalf. You can think of it as a relay race. You know, you have a baton and you pass it off to the next person. Throughout history, there have been disciples of Christ that have crossed gaps and passed the baton of redeeming the nations, going to the nations, telling them about the truth of Christ. And that's happened all through history up to right now. And guess what? We've been given the baton. Right? This process has been taking place through history. And we can rejoice that somebody somewhere crossed the gap on our behalf. That we would come to know Christ. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So are we sent? Yes, indeed we are. And God has a strategic purpose in the lives of us, strategic people. First of all, he wants to influence our worldview. Okay, what do we mean by that? That we now view the world with this different perspective. As you look at your little doodle there, you see now, wow, God's big plan from creation to heaven, the end of human history. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This is what God's doing in the world. He's reaching out to these different groups. God wants us to be able to step outside of our little world and to see what he's doing in his big world. So God wants to change our worldview. And as we meditate on the scriptures and see how he blesses to be a blessing, we can get a better vision for what God's doing in the world. And then secondly, God wants to strategically use you. Many of us sit back and go, I don't think God could use us. I don't think God could use me. Yes, he can and he wants to. Now, for some of us, this is maybe a difficult message to hear. Because we sit back and we go, man, Rod, you're up there talking about this. You're not going to ask me to do something crazy, right? Like go around the world, move to China. You're not saying that, are you? I'm not saying that I'm not saying that. Right? But what we want to talk about here is this is not a message where you sit back and go, man, gee, you know, I'm just not doing enough. I should be being more involved in what God's doing all around the world. But I don't think I can. I'm not the right guy. I'm not the right person. Listen, this is a message of hope, of purpose in life. We have been redeemed. We have been blessed. We have been set free by Christ. Now, God calls us to this amazing opportunity that we can step over a gap and extend that blessing to others. It's a message of hope. And you may be sitting there, no, God couldn't use me. He can't. He created you. One time I was talking with my daughter, Isabel, and she was kind of down on herself. She's like, Dad, you know, I'm not good. I don't do the right things. You know, and it just breaks your heart when you see a beautiful little girl so discouraged like that. Right? It breaks God's heart when we act like that. But you know what I told her? I said, Isabel, look, you need to understand, you're not here by a mistake. God looked at the world and he said, you know what? I need an Isabel. I want an Isabel. And that's why he created you. He needed you. He wanted you. He didn't have to create you. In the same way, God looked at the world and he said, I want you. I have a strategic plan and purpose for you. For me to accomplish what I'm doing in the world, I need and want a you to experience a relationship with me, my blessing. But then also, join with me in this great adventure of crossing gaps and bringing people back to Christ. So it's a message of hope. It's a message of hope. God calls us to be involved in this beautiful, wonderful, majestic plan that he's unfolding throughout human history. It's a great invitation, right? So this morning, I'm here to bump you, to try to get you to move. That we would all say, you know what? I see where I fit in the world. I see how God's created me. How can I use the way God's created me to cross a gap on the behalf of people that don't know Christ? It may seem overwhelming, but it's not. Today, in your bulletin, you got one of these cards where you can learn about what Calvary's doing as far as missions in the world. Just start praying for these people. At lunchtime, pray for them. Talk about what they're doing in the world. Let your family get excited about what's going on. And ask God, is there some way I could become involved in this ministry to further what you're doing in the world? Or asking God, God, how would you use me? What would you want to do with me in the world? Also, if you step outside these doors there on the welcome table, there are these current outreach opportunities. I mean, reaching out, crossing a gap, maybe teaching a kid, tutoring a kid in high school. And maybe you mean helping a single mother repair her house. There are all these opportunities for us right now to be involved in what God's doing in the world and cross gaps in his name. I know it's a whirlwind. It's a lot of information. Some of you may have never viewed the scriptures like this before. But it's true. God blesses that we would be a blessing to all the nations. We get to look forward to that day when somebody from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be before the throne of God. Let's pray. God, we are overwhelmed at how good you are. Lord, we think about how you did not want mankind to be separated from you. And so you reached out. Lord, you divided people up and you reached out to them. You blessed them to be a blessing. God, it's wonderful and amazing that we can look at your consistency through history. Lord, we can look forward to heaven and being with you. God, I just pray for all of us right now, Lord, as we think about these things, that we would grow in our appreciation of you. God, I pray for all of us that even though we may be intimidated, even though we may not feel like we're the right person, God, that we would be willing to cross a gap for your namesake. Here, in our community, in our jobs, in our schools, but Lord, also around the world. We just thank you, God, that you love us and that you want to use us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.